Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that Delhi number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. All right, we're going to jump straight into it. It is campaign time for all the so-called candidates running for a federal election, and 21 May is the date where you put in your vote. Well, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Anipat O'Shane and AM, First Nation lady and candidate for the seat of Leichhardt with the Socialist Alliance, and come to join me in the studio. And a very good morning to you, Anipat. How are you?
Fabulous, especially being here.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Arnie, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
I'm Eastern Yalanji, from the Daintree Forest area. That's our forest.
Beautiful.
We own that.
Yes, we own that. Nicely said, you know.
Yes.
A beautiful footprint.
Yes. Mm. We were given back our native title.
Yes.
Very generous of Migaloo.
Yes, thank you. Very generous of Migaloo. Artie, coming from Sydney, a bit of background in regard to, well, the legal industry. First Nation person to become a barrister. Yes,
correct.
Is that the story? Yes.
That's correct.
So you grew up in Cairns. Tell us your story. Who's Pat O'Shane?
Well, I've just told you my background, okay?
Yes,
I was actually born in the Daintree area, up in the Mossman Gorge. And at the time when I was approaching school age, my parents moved down here near Cairns, just outside actually, and the older I got, the closer they came into, into the town. I started off in Cairns North Primary School, which is now a community health complex.
Yes.
I was told by one teacher that blacks smell. And
black smell.
Blacks smell.
Is that right? Yep.
And that would have been news to all my mob. But, however, she sat me in a seat in the corner by myself, and from that day on, I know my parents and my grandparents, my aunts and uncles and cousins all impressed on me that I had to get an education.
Okay.
And that drove
me. So that statement from that teacher got you where you are today.
You can bet, because I gritted my teeth and I said to myself, I'll show you.
Exactly, yep.
The interesting thing is I got the same thing when I went into high school as well, you know, intermediate school at Cairns High.
Yes.
And one of my teachers said to me, I wanted to go on into high school, and Dad told her that. And she said she doesn't have the brains to go on. I mean, I'd already done well in primary school. The interesting thing is, it was female teachers who put me down.
Yeah,
and,
is that right?
And dismissed me. It was male teachers. There were two at Cairns North in primary school and two in intermediate school who encouraged me. And I was thinking about that just recently and thinking, nowadays, the women's movement would be, like, so hostile.
Up in arms.
To know that women
Yes.
were putting me down and trying to stop me from getting
And I think in putting you down, not only because you're a woman, but you're a black woman.
That's right. Well, yeah. That's yeah. right. But, I mean, that was their general... And when I became a teacher at Cairns High School many years later, I mean, I went on to Teachers College, went on to Queensland University. I came back to teach at Cairns Central Primary School, which was run down. Most of my students came across by boat from Bessie Point and Yarrabah. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And when it was raining, they couldn't get to school. Mm. We had very few facilities because the school was actually falling down. I mean, the building was actually falling down. But I bought up a lot of little golden books for my pupils to read, to encourage them to read. And, I mean, that opened a new world for them.
Yes.
I also took them down into the schoolyard to grow gardens.
So were you a teacher?
Yes, I was a teacher.
So
I started
you did
my career
your degree as a teacher?
That's correct. That's right.
Okay, and when did you go into legality? When did you go into become a lawyer?
Oh, okay. Well, some many years afterwards, my mother swallowed a chicken bone one Christmas day and she was taken into hospital. They tried to remove the bone, but in fact what happened was they stimulated the vagus nerve, which is basically, you know, short-circuiting all the all this essential parts of your body.
And
she went into a deep coma and she was in a coma for over 12 months. And I found that a very difficult thing. It was just after... It was just after my second daughter was born. And she was born in October and Mum lapsed into the coma on Christmas Day. And I went into a, you know, very deep depression. And I know now I was suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. And
from
my
that
doctor,
incident?
Yep. That's right.
Okay, yes.
Because she died more than 12 months later.
Yes.
And I was sent to Sydney for medical treatment. When I got there, the doctor I was referred to said he was going to cut open my brain. I thought, no, you aren't.
No way.
And in fact, I hit the table and I said, you're a charlatan and a fraud and I'm not coming back and what's more, I'm not paying you a bill. And I stormed out.
There you go.
But I had to rehabilitate myself and that's what I did.
Yes.
I didn't know what I was going to do, but... when they set up the tent embassy in Canberra, I was on a bus with loads of other people and I met Hal Wotton, who was at that gathering, and he was then the first dean of the law school of the University of New South Wales.
And first Nation man?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Okay, I'm thinking of Uncle Coco Wotton, that's all. Just joined the dots, but yes, okay.
And he said, come and see me. So I went to see him on the Monday and I said, well, really, I don't know what doing law is all about. I want to do medicine. So he called over Hal Wotton. His name was Hal Wotton. He called over the dean of the Faculty of Medicine, who said, oh, well...
Where is this, in Brisbane?
Sydney.
Sydney, okay, yes, yes, yes.
It'll take 6 years to do a medical degree, and Hal said it'll take 3 years to do a law degree.
So it was the time factor.
That's
that got
exactly
you into
right.
This.
That's what it was. But actually, all I did was sit down, put my mind to it, and I sailed through, and I got that degree.
And go a mile, see a mile. You could then got.
That's right. And I was
excited, motivated to go further.
Well, yes, I was admitted as a barrister, and because I was the first, I was much in demand. I mean, I've only realised that after the event, but I was invited to...
But you were doing it for yourself, but it then became... You became
No, I didn't do it for myself. I did it, you know, because
well,
I needed...
Well, in that regard is what I'm thinking.
...to get money,
the
you know, to keep two kids.
Of the position that you held
That's
after
right.
completing it is what I'm saying.
Yes. Well, I went and worked at Parliament House, New South Wales Parliament House, when the Rann Labor government was in, and the Attorney General was Frank Walker, asked me, in fact, the Premier asked me to have afternoon tea with him one day. And I went to his office and I said, Premier, I'm pretty sure you didn't invite me for a cup of tea.
I said, with no scones.
I'd preempted him. I didn't know what was in his head, but I thought, cup of tea? Not likely.
Sure.
You know, this isn't...
What's
this,
on the agenda?
That's
what's
exactly
behind the cup
right.
of tea?
And you know what I thought? What's on the agenda?
Yep.
Land rights.
There you go.
And I had this little, just one foolscap page, a few notes on it. I said to him, Premier, I think this is what you mean. And I handed it across to him and we had a chat and that was it. He wanted me to work on New South Wales land rights legislation packet, and which I did.
Yes,
I gathered a small research team around me, university students I'd known, and we worked on that. And that government set up the Ministry of Aboriginal Affairs. I was appointed as head of that. Permanent secretary, as they call them, wasn't permanent, and I wasn't going to, I mean, not permanent in that, you know.
They gave you the title as permanent. But
I wasn't going to stay there for life.
Exactly, yep.
I mean, you do a job and you move on, and that's what I did. But we did implement that legislation. I hired Indigenous people from different parts of the New South Wales as well as other people from interstate.
Well, you've got to have black people at the table for that project, don't you?
Well, you know, we have to take a worldview, our worldview.
Our worldview, yeah.
And, in fact, what I found out when I went into the public service was that they did have some Indigenous employees being paid very, very low wages, pocket money.
Yes.
Even though they were supposed to be on the same scale as other non-Indigenous public servants at that time. And I said to my minister, Frank Walker, I want my staff well paid.
Yes.
According to the
award wage.
That's right. I said, otherwise I'm going to pitch a tent outside the Premier's office. The minister said
New
to
Newton
me...
Embassy, Sydney.
The Prime Minister said to me, you wouldn't do that, Pat. I said, don't try me.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I had G'd up my staff and said, next thing, a tent outside the Premier's office.
No, you didn't.
We got that. I got those salary increases like that.
Action speaks louder than words.
Absolutely. But if you... There's one thing I treasure about myself, and that's my integrity.
Yes, beautiful.
I'm not going to sell my soul for anybody.
Yep, beautiful.
And I don't want to see any of my people in that situation either.
Yeah, and here we are in the 21st century and it shouldn't be the case our people have been in that situation. So our deadly listeners out there, if you just tuned in, Trinity Trev here, Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black, having a deadly yarn with only Pat O'Shane and look, Indigenous lawyer and magistrate and also a lifelong fighter for justice. And 2021 NAIDOC Lifetime Achievement Award and now candidate for the seat of Leichhardt for the Socialist Alliance for the up-and-coming election for 2022. So coming back to Cairns was virtually a retirement space for you, wasn't it?
Well, actually, I had hoped to continue my legal practice, but it was COVID. I mean, COVID hit and basically...
turned the world upside down for all of us.
That's right. Went into a state of stun. It was very difficult for me to get my... records from the New South Wales Law Society because they'd all closed down.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was even worse trying to get onto the Queensland Law Society in order to file them, and it took months and months and months and months. In the course of that time, I actually had a nasty accident in a shopping centre, fractured both elbows, crook knee, left knee.
Honey still Pat, suffering. You do anything to attract attention, don't you?
I do, actually. Shut up. I do.
Look at me at the shopping centre.
So I thought, no, I'm going to retire. And so I wrote, you know, to the law societies, and I said, I'm retiring. Mm.
So in actual fact, you should have said, I'm not retiring, I'm going to a different sector.
Well,
you thought you should have said, here you are, candidate for Leichhardt with the Socialist Alliance.
Well, I was actually invited to a meeting with Rob Pine, who's a well-known...
Yes. Uncle Rob.
That's right, a well-known person, personality.
Exactly.
In this town. And he asked me if I would join, and I said, okay. And
then he poached you.
Yes.
Beautiful.
There and then he asked
me... Because it wasn't even in your mind during totally, the arena.
Totally not.
No, thank you. Okay.
I had thought I had done...
your bit.
No. I actually started to think, like I did a course from Harvard in negotiation and I thought, okay, I'll become a negotiator. So I was kind of gearing myself up to do all of
so
that.
So I just did a course in Harvard. It's like you say that, like we're just putting on the kettle for a cup of tea. Shut up. How deadly are you? How deadly are you, Arnie?
If there are opportunities there...
There it is, rabbit.
...then I'm going to have a go, all right?
Well,
and that's what I want my people, our people to
have that
to
attitude,
do,
exactly. They say opportunity is knocking on people's door every day. The sad thing is we don't hear the opportunity knocking or we're too busy knocking the opportunity.
Let's face it, we have governments in this country of all stripes.
Yes.
At state levels and at federal level.
Yep.
Which do not support Indigenous people.
Mm.
For instance, I just toured the Straits area.
Torres Straits, yes.
Yes. And the overwhelming story was housing is overcrowded.
Yes.
And they absolutely cannot get decent housing.
And it's sad, like I said, in the 21st century, you know, and overcrowded with houses.
It's actually,
I mean, you talk about the necessity of life.
It's actually a scandalous situation.
House? Ridiculous.
Oh, on my last day there, I was told the story of, I was actually outside the place, but a family trying to accommodate three generations, babies, parents, grandparents, people living on the floors. You know what that leads to? Very serious health conditions.
Exactly.
So we have this combination of factors,
yes,
which are keeping the people in a state of serious oppression,
yeah,
depression, and
physical, emotional, spiritual, all the above.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that really fired me up on my trip through there, but it has been anyway for years because I grew up in a shack.
Sure. But as I was saying, 21st century, overcrowding of house, and when you, like I said, talking about necessity of life, but we're a first world country, but living in third world standards. That's ridiculous.
Absolutely, you better believe it. And the thing is, Australia is one of the wealthiest countries in the entire world.
Yes.
One of the things that a side issue, a seemingly side issue to what I've just told you about overcrowding in our communities right across Australia. There are politicians of all stripes in this country who own many properties, housing in particular.
Yep.
And it's a scam because it is, in fact, tax evasion. They write them off, the costs of running those houses, to
negative... We say tax dodge, but it's tax benefits is how they see it.
Well, it's a tax scam, yes.
There you go, tax scam.
Right? Because they write it all off to their... write it all off against tax. They don't pay much tax. They expect everybody... workers who now, as a result of COVID-19, no longer have jobs.
Sure. So to our listeners out there, to the people of Leichhardt, if winning the seat at Leichhardt, what can you bring to the table, Annie Pat?
Well, 50 years of experience as a lawyer, doing the rounds.
I mean,
the issues that I've just been speaking about.
Mm.
We actually, our governments, the Commonwealth, the federal governments, actually provide housing for defence forces, for instance. Mm. If they can provide housing, decent housing,
yes,
they're not crowded, they're not suffering health bad health conditions. If they can provide it for one cohort of people in this Australian community, they can provide it for the most impoverished and dispossessed people in this country.
Yes.
That's a key issue in my book. Free health services, properly funded Aboriginal medical services, etc. And in other services that go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Aged services, the same.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, if you stamp out poverty and stamp out healthy constituents, it rises the country, lifts the country, doesn't it? High tide rises all ships.
That's correct. And that, I mean, for a very long time, Australia was regarded as one of the most equitable countries, governments in the world.
Mm.
After the Second World War, the Chifley government employed H.C. Coombs, Dr. Nugget Coombs, whom I met a long time ago, and I became a fan of his. He was instructed to build up a reconstruction plan for Australia after the Second World War.
Mm.
And we can do that again, and we need to go do it again now.
Now.
Starting May 2022.
Yep, May 2022. I love that. After being voted in May 21. I love that. The positive thinking and working for the people. And look, when you look at the seat of Leichhardt, it's a very big footprint. But there's a lot of First Nation people within that footprint.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
And I'm picking up, of course, change is good is what I'm picking up from you, Anipat.
Change is necessary.
No, change is necessary. There you go. Beautiful.
And I want all of our people to be the change or the changes they want to see.
Yeah.
And my function, once I get into Parliament, is to ensure that those changes are implemented.
Beautiful. Annie Pat, great talking with you. Thank you so very much for coming in. Like I said, it is campaign time now, and we're having all the different candidates coming through. Lovely to have a chat with you, and great to see you again. And all the best, and we'll be watching you closely. And, of course, keep us in mind regarding this tool and getting your word out.
But thank all the you. Best, Annie Pat. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you very much. You take care, darling. A beautiful yarn there. That's Anipat O'Shane, candidate for the seat of Leichhardt with the Socialist Alliance, and look, a First Nation lawyer and magistrate, and also a lifelong fighter for justice, and 2021 NAIDOC Lifetime Achievement Awardee. So very, very deadly and very passionate, and change is not... change is a good thing, but she's saying change is necessary. It is a change that needs to be happened, is her thoughts. Have you saying Yana Strong to the conversation here, National Talk Black with Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumblebrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, 1-800-422-416. Let's go to Black Image, Reconciliation. There's a thought.
Australia.
Yeah, Reconciliation Black Image there here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call, yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. All right, going to catch up over yarn now with our dearly brother, KB, Kenny Bedford, our National Community Engagement Lead on the campaign. Campaign talking about is from the Heart Campaign and the opportunity they have in this election period to call for constitutional enshrined voice to Parliament. Beautiful, beautiful. On the line. Kenny, good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, my brother. I'm very good, thank you.
Good, brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Gladly, my name's Kenny Bedford. I'm a Mayoram man from Erib in the Torres Strait, Darnley Island.
Wow.
And I'm living and based in Cairns, so my respect to the Gimoi Nation. I acknowledge the land, water, sky and traditional owners of this beautiful part of the world. My respect to you, Bala, to BBM and to all our tribes and listeners across the nation.
Yeah, beautiful, brother. Nice words. Thank you very much. Just had a beautiful chat with Aunty Pat O'Shane, AM, and Indigenous candidate for the seat of Leichhardt with the Socialist Alliance. And you're talking about the opportunity of the up-and-coming election, federal election, look, from the Heart Campaign, constitutionally enshrined voice to Parliament. This is a fantastic platform for us to have our say, yep.
Yes, brother, my respect to Aunty Pat too, and the champion that she is for our people. All the best to her in the election. And she's one of a number of candidates, brother, that are standing up to fight for a seat in Parliament.
Yes.
And this is an opportune time for you and I as voters, you and I as Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people and communities across the nation, to use our voice, which is the vote.
Yeah.
That's the first voice we've got, is to use that stroke of the pen on the ballot paper.
Mm-hmm.
You're having a say about who represents you in Parliament. So as an advocate of the Uluru Statement from the Heart and for a referendum that will see a voice of Indigenous people protected in the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
I'm here to encourage people to understand what that means and to engage with their community leaders, and particularly candidates who are going in to the election, to ensure that the governments, the major parties in particular, have promised us that we'll be going, promised us constitutional reform.
Mm-hmm.
And
they need to live up to their promises, don't they, is what you're saying?
We're saying, yes, please, mm-hmm. live up to your promises. We've been very patient, and this has been a long-time journey. And if we think about the 67 referendum,
yes,
our mothers and fathers, our grandfathers and grandmothers, and for people who are voting for the first time, the parents of their grandparents who fought for that 1967 referendum, the important referendum that allowed Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to vote as citizens in this country.
And so, that strong foundation that our ancestors have done for us, and we need to pick up the baton and run with it, don't we, brother?
Yeah, and these aren't ancestors going a long way back. Aunty Pat's one of those people.
Sure, exactly.
Her mother played a huge role here in Cairns.
Mm-hmm.
We can't forget and not use that vote, because really we're coming on the back of these giants that fought for us, and it's a privilege we've got, so let's make use of it. But the important message I want to get across to people is that there's no more important issue for our Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander families and communities around the country
mm-hmm.
than to put pressure on the government that's going to come in. We'll have a new government in 6 weeks, and we're saying the Australian people have spoken.
Yep.
Non-Indigenous people, black, white and everyone in between have spoken and said they're ready for the opportunity to vote at that referendum.
Well, a long time waiting, isn't it, Kenny? When you look at 230-odd years, you know, and we, as First Nation people, we are still behind the black ball, partner punt. But, you know, there's, you know, we're talking about closing the gap. We're sick of that record. And, well, things don't change if things don't change.
That's right. And this representative voice to Parliament isn't a third chamber of Parliament. Mm. It's only an advisory voice, but it's one that people across the nation can put their vote for their representative to provide advice. And the reason why it's so important is it doesn't matter what the issue is in your community around health, education, water. If you're a remote desert, live on an island, you're young, you're old, you've got an issue. And the important thing is you need a pathway to get that issue in the parliament.
Exactly. You get to parliament. That's right. Exactly. Falls on deaf ears. Otherwise, there's no platform there.
That's right. We need that platform, and so that we've got a clearer pathway to help influence the policies and the decisions that affect our people, our children, our future, our today.
Yep, exactly. And since time began, there's been no black voice in Parliament, you know, and From the Heart campaign is the vehicle we can use.
Of course. So
it's the vehicle we need.
The next 6 weeks, so we've got to talk to one another, understand what this means, go to the website, go to the Uluru Statement from the Heart website, go to the From the Heart campaign website, find out who your candidates are, where they stand on this. Let them know that you're expecting in the next term of Parliament that we're going to go to a referendum because the Australian people are ready for it. They've said they are. We support this. We just need to go through the formality, and we don't want to wait anymore. We want this representative voice for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Yep, beautiful. Well, you're the lead on the campaign, my brother, National Community Engagement. Thank you very much for your chat, brother. And I think we'll be talking before 21 May, brother, again here on this program.
Thank you. We'll keep talking. And just before I go, there's only a few days left for people who haven't enrolled.
Yes. We had our brother Ray Sambo on here talking about exactly that. Yes.
Good brother. So get in there. It takes 5 minutes and use your voting voice to get us a voice in the Constitution to Parliament.
And you're saying that your one voice, your one vote, can make a big difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, brother. Kenny, thanks for the chat, my brother. All the best. You take care, brother, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you. Respect.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Kenny Bedford, National Community Engagement Lead on the campaign, and we're talking about the From the Heart campaign, that is, and the opportunity that that we have in this election period to call for a constitutional enshrined voice to Parliament and use the up-and-coming federal election as the vehicle to do so. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong here, 1-800-422-416.
I remember as a boy, a mama's love and a mama's joy. And I remember a mama's tears. She loved us all and she made us glad. And when times were hard and times were bad, she'd always chase away a fish. And she'd say, hush now, babies, don't you cry. Things look better by and by. Dry your eyes and don't. Said that there's not much for mom or dad, 'cause come what may, there's plenty here for you. When I was only 6 years old, on a winter's night that was so cold, and I could hear a raging storm, she took the blankets from their bed and wrapped them round each one of us instead, and gave us all a kiss, and we were born. Thank you.
hush now, babies, don't you cry. Things look better by and by. Dry your eyes and don't look blue. Keep on smiling, don't feel sad. There's not much for mom or dad. Cause come what may, there's plenty here. Time when Christmas came around, she cooked a bird that weighed about 3 pounds, and 7 children had a share. She gave her dad a weary smile, held him close and close to rise a while. She seemed to say a silent prayer. And then she said, hush now, babies, don't you cry. Things look better. Lovely children of my own. I remember Mama's words today. Oh, Mama said, hush now, babies, don't you cry. Things look better.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, this old town, Gwana, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yindinji country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So have you saying Yarn Up Strong, your mob, 1-800-422-416. All right, going to have Deadly Yarn now with Tori Passy, a First Nation hip-hop artist. And young people challenge us to think about a world without racism. Doesn't that sound deadly? On the line, Tony, good morning. How are you? Tori.
Yeah, Trevor, how are you, brother?
I'm good, my brother. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, sure. My name's Tori Parsi. My mob's Waka Waka and Budgety. I'm Queensland boy and living down here in Gumbangia country on mid-north coast, New South Wales.
Too deadly, my brother. Beautiful footprint. Thank you very much. So talking about your space and your industry, you work in First Nation hip-hop artists. So tell us how it all started for you, my brother, and then you're using this as the vehicle, so to speak.
Yeah, sure. So after I finished school, a few years back now, Trevor, I always was involved in music and hip-hop, and I had an opportunity to, sort of develop that a bit more with, a few workshops and stuff that I ran since probably about 2012 all over the East Coast between, as far up as Innisfail and that all the way down this way.
Yep.
And I was approached by an organisation here in Coffs Harbour called Starts, and what they're about is they provide support for asylum seekers that have resettled here in Coffs Harbour and all around New South Wales.
Mm-hmm.
And they had received some funding to, for a creative arts project to address racism, here in Coffs Harbour. And, obviously they reached out to the First Nations community here as well. And, somehow they heard about me running hip-hop workshops and invited me to come along as a music mentor and to be involved in the creation of the track and performing as well. So.
And, of course, when they approached you, you was all hands up. You were thinking, yes, pick me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The country's a long way as far as... racism goes, but we've still got a very far way to go.
Of course.
I like to think of myself as a successful black fella. I've got a business and a house and stuff like that, but even I, at my age, I'm pushing close to 40, I still experience
spring chicken, brother.
As well. And, I think, when racism doesn't really, matter how far you come in life or whatever, people just automatically have that assumption that, you're a black fella and this and that and the other. But, this program was a great opportunity for these young people to come together from all walks of life. We have the music side of things, there were people from Congo. There was a group of young people, they identify as Yazidi, from the Middle East that resettled here in Coffs Harbour. And we had a girl from Belgium. All over the world, there was representation at the, the whole process, which went over 12 months, and it was really good to see the relationships that they all formed together, because they were, they knew of each other, but by going to school and things like that together.
Well, it brings community spirit together, doesn't it?
It really did. They were aware of each other, but they never really communicated. And this was a good forum for those conversations and those relationships to be built. And, now I see that, they're all really close friends and, talk together and hang out and stuff like that outside of the program from what they tell me. And,
sure.
Yeah, it's really captured what the spirit of reconciliation is all about. And, with young people like that, our futures in
good hands, exactly. And as elders, we pass the baton on, and for young ones to step up. And like I said, you use music as the vehicle to do so. And you're not born with racism; it's taught, and we need to stamp it out, don't we?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And one of the young Eritrean girls, she had such a beautiful poem at the launch the other night, talking about that, and. Yeah, it's exactly right. No, but it's a learned behaviour. But like anything, you can learn new ways of
exactly.
doing things and being as well.
Well, we are students for life, my brother. And if there's if you've got racism within you, you can educate yourself to get it out. Success and happiness is just a decision away, isn't it, brother?
Absolutely.
Good yarn with you, my brother. And look, we're going to go to a track, Under the Sun, A1. So just give us a bit of heads up about Under the Sun, brother.
Yeah, so, yeah, All One Under the Sun, there was a group of young, talented musicians that come together. And, yeah, basically it's a culmination of the 12-month program of, you know, mentoring, which was led by the beautiful Naomi Steinborn here in Coffs Harbour.
Yes.
And it's just a celebration. But also, you know, the song will speak for itself, but it talks about the young people's experiences, the challenges that they face and overcome daily. But also it's a celebration of coming together and what can happen if, you know, we all do unite and I guess a brighter picture for the future.
Exactly. Looking at some of the words here, under the sun, we're all the same here. We are all shining stars. The colour of my skin does not define me. Let's change the world and make it a better place.
Yeah, and that's pretty much captured in the song here, brother, which I'm sure you and the audience will appreciate.
Yeah, beautiful, brother. Tory Passy, nice talking with you, my brother. Keep doing your thing. Big shout-out to the mob down that way. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, bro.
Thanks, brother. You too.
Oh, beautiful yarn there. Tory Passy, his name, First Nation hip-hop artist, and joined the organisation there, the All One Under the Sun campaign, as was launched there at Jetty Theatre in Coffs Harbour. Back on Monday, and OOTS is the acronym for that, A-O-U-T-S, a youth-led artist-based project, and currently running in the Coffs Harbour LGA on Gunnaburra country, and is in an antidote to racism, promoting inclusion, belonging, connection and education. We've got the track here, so have a listen. Under the Sun, do enjoy.
Hello, everyone.
Together we are strong.
Now we sing.
We give respect.
Long ago, the Bangio mob,
they all fought for us.
Strong power, love,
that keeps us
together.
Together we are strong.
Under the sun, we're all the
same here. We are all shining stars. The color of my skin does not define me. Let's change our world and make it a better place.
Mindful and conscious of the voices in me, surrounded by the depths of diversity. Listen and breathe with an open mind. Hear the wisdom of the elders, our hearts intertwine.
We're singing the songs with others in mind. Different cultures and people come together.
I'll be with every step, but these words must be addressed.
Get up, stand up, stand up.
This is my life.
Get up, stand up, stand up.
Find a deeper melody.
Get up, stand up, stand up.
This is my life, this is my life. But it sure was right.
We are all one under the sun.
Generation, this oppression, we feel such a better.
We are safe, we are people, we want to feel safe and equal. We want our beliefs and language us.
From the deeper melody.
Ya fashu shirina, wakbahar arangina. اشخاص الدنيا بجيب سربستي.
ونعيش حياتنا مثل ما نريد. معا نحن اقوياء. ونعيش حياتنا مثل ما نريد، معا نحن أقوياء.
أمهمي وكي هذا بكفيز وقوة، خلق ربي عالمي تسلو هبالا.
We are all one under the
Yeah, ain't that the truth? We are all one under the sun, and that's from the campaign there, down there at Coffs Harbour. Big shout out to Tory Passy, good yarner with the brother, First Nations hip hop artist. This is your daily program, National Tall Blade with Trendy Trev. Murray going to sign off for today. I'm back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. 24/7, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, or our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. But thank you for your company, you mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic, live with COVID-19. That's what it's all about in regard to communication with your First Nation health organisations, and where you have that information to keep yourself safe and your family safe. But thank you for your time, your mob. News coming up very soon. Take care. Keep smiling. Hot chicken.